What is the best way to facilitate a code retreat? That is a really important question. I will answer it later in this episode. Hi, my name is Peter Kofler. I am the Code Cop. Obviously, I am fanatic about clean code, and for many years I tried hard to develop quality software. Eventually, I had to change my motto to developing quality software developers. In this podcast, I will answer questions about facilitation, hosting, and participation of code retreats or any kind of hands-on session in general. If you have any questions regarding your code retreat, please send me an email or leave a comment. Today, I want to talk about the day structure of a code retreat. So, as I said in previous episodes, code retreat is an all-day long learning activity. It's a day dedicated to practice and learning together. It starts quite early in the morning, and some code retreats offer breakfast, or at least there is some coffee to grab before it starts. So it starts usually at 9 a.m. with some short introduction, where the facilitator explains the day and what we will work on. And then there are six sessions. So the sessions are hands-on coding sessions, where we work on some exercise. So there might be five or six sessions in total. Each session is 45 minutes coding, working in pairs, and then a short retrospective where we discuss what we learned, and then a short break. And that's repeated over and over. In the next session, we do not start with the code that we created because we have a fresh start with a fresh pairing partner, so the old code gets deleted. We work on the same exercise, just with some different objectives, maybe. And then there's lunch. Lunch is supposed to be a longer break, so we can also have some discussions. I talked about lunch a bit in episode 1 of this podcast. And after lunch, we have more sessions to dig deeper into the topic of software crafting and quality design, test-driven development, and so on. And then it's getting late in the day. Maybe there is a coffee break between fifth and sixth session. But after the sixth session, there's a closing retrospective, which is a longer discussion of the day, of the learning of the day, of the learning goals, and gives us time to reflect what happened during that day, and what we learned, and how we go home, and what we'll do next. First-time facilitators always ask me about the best way to facilitate. So, before I'm answering this question about what style is the best style to facilitate a code retreat, let me tell you that if you're going to facilitate, your style is just fine. There is a wide range of styles to run such an event, and in the end it doesn't matter. So your style is fine. So if you want to be very active, be active. If you don't want to be that active, don't be active. So I know a lot of different facilitators and styles. Some people want to teach. If you want to teach, teach a little, maybe not too much, but it's okay. It's also, I've seen code retreats that started with a demo of test-driven development that could be also seen. It's kind of like a training. If you don't like talking to people on the other side, don't talk. Right? It's not a problem. And different facilitators do that differently. Like I once co-facilitated with Emily Page. Now Emily was going around and having a look at each code on several times from each pair. And then she was discussing implications of the code and how to improve. So she went right into the code with each pair of participants. Adi, on the other hand, is going around and asking questions while walking by. So it seems he's not even paying attention. I know he's paying attention, but he's not going deeply into a discussion. He's just looking at the code, asking a question, an open question, and walking away. That's like another style. And Alex, his brother, sometimes when he's tired, is just sitting on the side and not walking around at all, which is perfectly fine. And even once I had it with Martin Klose, that he was so tired that he went outside to have a nap. Even that's okay, Right. So maybe you wanna not leave your coded treat if you're the only facilitator, but it's perfectly fine to go out for a few minutes and leave participants alone for 5 minutes to grab a coffee or to have some fresh air or go to the toilet. Right. You don't have to be there all the time. You're not responsible for like the outcome in a sense. If people learn something, it's not your responsibility. Okay? Because it's not about you. Maybe that's the second big thing. So the first big thing is your style is fine. It doesn't really matter because the event is not about you as facilitator. It's about the participants and it's mainly about the experience of the participants. So they will talk to their pairing partners. They will write some code. They will experience some constraints. They will have difficulties. They will have fun. That's all not involving you as a facilitator. You're just creating the space. So again, if you want to talk, talk. If you want to teach, teach a bit. Maybe you won't be able to teach everything because there might be different languages on the code retreat. And if you're feeling tired or you're not sure and you don't feel like talking, you don't have to talk. So your style is fine. The last thing I want to talk about today is how about non-developers showing up? From my experience, this is totally no problem. I had really great code retreats with Scrum Masters, Product Owners, Exploratory Testers. These were all people that had no real coding experience. So they might be coding beginners or they might be even non-coders. And that didn't cause any problems. Particularly like this product owner I once had in my code retreats. He said he attends the code retreat because he wants to see how developers are training. And then it turned out he was a better developer than some of the participating developers because he used to be a developer. So it's encouraged, right? Having different people with different backgrounds is totally encouraged for the code retreat because the code retreat lives on the different people communicating, collaborating, and exchanging experiences. So we learn most from outsiders. So if you have the chance to bring in other people, technical people, do so. Under registration, we usually even write that, and this event is also open to product owners, Scrum Masters, testers, and all technical roles, or whatever you call it, people that are interested, because as long as one of the two is able to write the code, knows the syntax, they will be able to code. On one occasion, we even had the CTO of the hosting company visit us. Okay, he wasn't really participating, and there was an old guy. And then in the retrospective, he was telling us some stories about his time in development many years ago when he was doing some ADA development in safety critical applications. That was also quite interesting. And it was the first time that the CTO attended a code retreat I was facilitating. That is all for this episode. I'm Peter Kofler and I wish you luck with your next code retreat or hands-on workshop. If you have any questions regarding your code retreat, please send me an email or leave a comment. I'm looking forward to hear from you how your event went. Code retreats are awesome. Let's have more of them.